Today on Focal Point, from Pastor Mike Fabares.
See, my flesh desires to put myself up and put you down, or at least leave you alone. And the scripture says real Christians who know Christ, they stop putting themselves up and they start putting others up. I say it doesn't matter who they are in relation to me, because our differences are inconsequential. As a matter of fact, if they're Christians, Christ lives in them and they are to be honored.
We all long to be loved and accepted just as we are. And if we know Christ, then we know we are. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So why is it so difficult for us to live in this accepted state? Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares challenges us to take a look inside and check our motives. Are we finding ways to lift others up, or are we seeking opportunities to elevate ourselves instead? Mike titled this message, Attacking Prideful Pretense.
The Bible, from beginning to end, expresses God's displeasure with deceit. It's clear as can be. As a matter of fact, the way the Bible presents it, and it almost discards this so easily, you know, just don't lie, stop lying, don't be deceitful, be honest. It's almost so easily stated that, it seems like it would be a simple thing to do. And yet it's not. The Bible says it's really more of a symptom than the problem. I mean, lying is a symptom of something deeper that's going on inside of us, some insidious problem that we have inside of our own hearts, and wanting to be perceived to be something that is a little bit better than we are. And that kind of desire is something that is waging war against our new hearts. If you're a Christian, God has put a new heart inside of you. He's put a desire inside of you to please Him. It is a desire for truthfulness. It's a desire for authenticity. It's a desire to be real. And yet your flesh that you live in, this principle of humanity that you're stuck with from the time of your birth till the day of your death, it's going to fight that tooth and nail. It doesn't want to be honest. It does not want to be truthful. It wants to put a spin on things. It wants to stretch, embellish. It wants to enhance and exaggerate. And God says that can't happen in the church. In Colossians chapter 3, thankfully, the Apostle Paul doesn't just deal with the symptoms. He gets to the heart of the problem. And he says, as new Christians, you're going to fight some things in your life. And he's named three specific kinds of sins. The first kind of sin we looked at was the sin of sexual sin, sexual immorality. And he used five words to describe it. Then he went on to talk about our anger problems and relational hostilities. And he used five words to describe that. But now, as he brings up the third and final sin that's going to fight against our regenerate hearts, he only uses one word to describe it. Look at this text with me in Colossians chapter 3, and let's declare war on any kind of deceit or hypocrisy in our lives, and let us find the tools and the weapons of warfare from Colossians chapter 3. Look at it with me, beginning in verse number 9. The one word used in this passage to describe the problem is lying. And then we get to the root of it in verse 11. But look at it in verse number 9. He says, do not lie. Literally, in the Greek grammar, it is in what we call in grammar classes a continuative tense. He says, no more lying. Stop this pattern of lying. He says, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and you've put on this new self, this new heart, this regenerate heart that God has given you, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. And then he gets to the heart of the matter of the kind of deception that's taking place in the church at Colossae. He says here, listen, in the church, amongst Christians, there is no Greek or Jew. There's no circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no barbarian, no Scythian, no slave or free. But Christ, here's the apex of the passage, but Christ is all and he's in all. In those two phrases, he gives us the countering effects of the temptations that we're going to fight in our flesh to be deceptive, to put a spin on ourselves, to be perceived as, yeah, I've done that, I've accomplished that, I know this, to make these kinds of artificial distinctions. It's all countered with these two phrases. But Christ is all, and he's in all. He says, since you have, notice these words, taken off your old self with its practices. Well, one of the practices, apparently, of this old life, this old person I used to be, is deception. And that's certainly true. And he says, look at the analogy, take it off. Because in reality, what I'm doing when I'm kind of getting you to think that I'm a better guy than I really am, more accomplished guy, smarter guy, more spiritual guy, what I'm doing is I'm kind of putting on a layer, right? It's like putting on clothing. And I can understand where my flesh says to my heart, I don't want to take things off that make me look better. See, because if I take off the spin in my life, if I take off that embellished air and reputation that I want you to believe about me, then I'm kind of vulnerable, and I don't like that. He's saying, you know what? It's great to put that cover on your life and to present yourself to people as together and your marriage is solid and your kids is perfect and your walk with God so strong. But you know what? Put off the air of your reputation. Take it off. Peel it off. I love the way you've taken off the old self with its practices. And one of the practices is that self-protecting, self-promoting deception. Stop it. No more. Here's how I put on your outline. Number one, you and I need to get to the place where we agree with the Apostle Paul and with what God is telling us here. No more pretending. I'm just going to stop. No more pretense. No more pretending in my life. I am not going to worry so much about what you think of me. I'm going to say it's okay. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17, God says to us, there are six things that I hate, seven that I detest. And the first two at the top of the list are pride and lying lips. See, the symptom is my deception. The real issue is I got a pride problem. The issue is I want you to think I'm better. I want to be promoted. That's the old life. That's the way the world lives. That's not the way we're going to live. And then he gives his reasons. Look at verse number 11. It is so important that we understand this. He says, here, in this place, right? We just contrasted the old life. Now he says, in the church, amongst God's people, here, there is no Greek or Jew. There is no circumcised or uncircumcised. There is no barbarian, no Scythian, no slave or free, but Christ is all. Now, the answer to the problem of the distinctions we like to make to promote ourselves is that Christ is all. That's the punchline. Because here, those distinctions don't matter, because here we have Christ, and Christ is all. You see, when we have someone so great on our team, the differences between us don't seem to matter much. A couple weeks ago, all our pastors got on a plane and we flew out to Chicago, as we do every May. We go to this pastors conference at Moody Bible Institute, and it's a great time for us. We eat a lot of pizza, we go hear a lot of sermons, go a lot of workshops, learn a lot of great stuff. And one of the things we do every year is we always go down to this great gymnasium that Moody Bible Institute built, MBI built, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's got, you know, court after court, and they're all high gloss, and there's great. Matter of fact, it's such a neat place that the Chicago Bulls, when they don't get into their regular practice facility, they use Moody's gym to practice. It is a great facility. And so we, a bunch of overweight, out-of-shape pastors, we throw on our shorts and we go down there and we play basketball. They hand out these nice leather basketballs and we go out there and try and hit the rim a couple of times. Well, listen, everyone does it. All these pastors in there. Now, just picture this. I mean, not for too long, but again, we're out there playing basketball. We're not all that great, as you might imagine. We're not that good. And there's all kinds of other pastors coming in, and some of them look pretty good. They come from the inner city of Detroit, and they got this pastoral staff, and they're good. I got this Kentucky or Indiana church with this big staff. Now, just imagine they walk in and challenge the pastors to a basketball game. Maybe some big, tall pastoral staff from Illinois or whatever. They walk in, they would choose you, whatever. They say, let's play ball. Now, that would be immediately where everything becomes critically important. Now, who can take who and who's our best player? And it becomes critically important, each person's ability out there. But let's just imagine. Let's just imagine. It's conceivable, right? Michael Jordan decides to drive by and stop in and see what's going on. Maybe he can get a pickup game here. And he comes in and he sees us in great need. And he says, I'm going to play with those white boys there. And he joins our team against the big, tall, Kentucky, Indiana pastoral staff. And he says, I'll help you guys. Now, what you know what happens immediately? Our distinctions amongst us? Get the ball to Michael, right? Get the ball to Jordan and let him take the shot. It's over. We're going to win. Now, because, you know, because Mark is a little bit better than Dan, or Dan is a little bit better than Tony, none of that matters anymore. Because we got the superstar in our team. He is everything on our team. The Apostle Paul is trying to say this. Listen, guys, you got a lot of distinctions amongst the church. You got some spiritual people, some not so spiritual people. You got some gifted people, not so gifted. You got some smart people, got some dumb people, got some rich people, got some poor people. Whatever. Christ is everything. Christ is all. And you know what? If he's on your team, all these differences don't matter. And you know what? There's a big problem in the church today. It reveals a lot about our deficiencies when you and I are making celebrities out of Christian leaders or preachers or pastors or missionaries. Stop it. I mean, we're nobody. We are nobody. The Apostle Paul and Apollos, the two greatest preachers in the New Testament, and Paul's talking about them to the Corinthian church who are putting these people up. Ooh, Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of... He says, you know what? We are, here's how he puts it, nothing. We're nothing. He says, we are nothing. Who is Apollos? He says, who is Paul? We're servants. We're just doing our task. Who is the great one? He says, Apollos is nothing. Paul is nothing. The only person that's anything is God. God who makes things grow. God is everything. You know, we need to get that perspective. That gets us in perspective when we can look at the greatness of Christ. The professor and scientist, William Beebe, used to hang out, I'm told, with Theodore Roosevelt. And they would sit around, and I mean, two power players in science and politics, and they would sit around and discuss world affairs and power broker stuff or whatever they would talk about. And apparently, Beebe would hang out at the White House, and I don't know, they'd be sitting out on the lawn or whatever, and it says, after a long night of discussing these big power broker issues, right, in academics and politics and world affairs, in his memoirs, Beebe says that often they would find the constellation Pegasus, and just outside the box of Pegasus, they'd find that faint little dusty cloud, that tiny little smudge of light on the sky. And they would identify that as the spiral galaxy Andromeda, that is 100 or 200 million light years away. And from their knowledge based on what they knew of astronomy, they would talk about the over 1 billion stars that exist in the Andromeda galaxy and how every one of those billion stars that was identified to date at their time in history, it was bigger by far than our sun. And they would sit there and talk about the greatness of the galaxy and the largeness and expanse of the universe and the magnificence of that fantastic galaxy that's hung out there in space. And in his memoirs, he'd say that Theodore Roosevelt would lean back in his chair and say this, "Now," he said, "I think we're small enough. Let's go to bed." Man, if we could make that the practice of our daily Christian life. Not by staring at Andromeda, the spiral galaxy out there in the universe, but by looking at Christ. You look at Christ every day, you know what it's going to do? It's going to squelch every desire for self-promotion. Because you're going to say, like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, in light of the greatness of Christ and all that he does for us, where then is boasting? That's the question. And I love the response in Romans 3. It is excluded. No place for it. Or as 1 Corinthians 1 says, let him who boasts, what? Boast in the Lord. And there's only one place to boast. If you're going to boast about a basketball game that Michael Jordan played on your team, let's boast about him. See? And the scripture says, if we're going to boast about this organization, if we're going to boast about accomplishments here, if we're going to boast about great teaching or great ministry or smart people or financially well-off people, let's just boast about him, because he's better than anybody here, that's for sure, by far. That's the greatness of Christ. I put it this way in your outline number 2. You and I need to get ourselves in perspective. Get yourself in perspective. If that takes staring at the universe, fine. If it takes staring at Christ, which is really the point of this passage, great. But don't think it's about you. It certainly isn't. I don't care how smart we are. I don't care how rich we are. I don't care how powerful we are. I don't care how brilliant we are. I don't care any of that. It doesn't matter. There are no superstars in the church. There are no heroes amongst us. We are just servants of Christ, and Christ is all. That's what the scripture says. Christ is all. 4 words left in our passage. Look at them. Verse number 11. No distinctions between us because Christ is all. And then it adds this. And, 3 more words, is in all. What does that mean? In all. Well, we've looked at these distinctions in the church. Got some Greek believers, got some Jewish believers, got some circumcised believers, got some uncircumcised believers, got some barbarian believers, got some Scythian believers, got some slave believers, got some free believers. The distinctions are irrelevant because of the greatness of Christ. Christ is all. And then he says this. And by the way, he's in all. In every Scythian Christian, he dwells in them. In every slave Christian, he dwells in them. In every minimum wage worker, in every CEO Christian, you name it. If they're Christians, Christ dwells in them. That great God that we're looking at, that as we focus on, prevents and squelches any desire for self-promotion, is also the perspective that makes me look at my brother or sister in Christ and say, I don't care how lowly you are. I don't care how less than me you are. I don't care how different we are. If Christ is in you, it does something to elevate you. Look at one more passage with me in Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul is trying to drive this point home. And he says, listen, guys, listen. You guys need to get yourself in perspective in relationship to Christ. And then, he says, and spends more time doing it than he does here, You need to get others in perspective, your brothers and sisters in Christ in perspective because of Christ. You see, if I said to you that your most respected, hero of life, whoever it is, famous, rich, powerful, gifted person, that their son was out in the lobby, and you get a chance to meet that child of this person, whether it's somebody from history or whatever, we magically brought their child and put them there, you would treat that kid with a certain level of respect, not because of what the kid has accomplished, but because of whose kid he is. Here's what the Apostle Paul says, beginning of Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 3. He's telling these folks to get it all in perspective. He says, "For by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." That is our fleshly temptation. He says, don't do it. And then he shifts the whole emphasis by talking about serving each other in verse 4 and the gifts and utilizing them to be servants. Like Christ said, you want to be great, then be a servant. And then he talks about love in verse 9. It must be sincere, the opposite of hypocrisy. He says in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And then he really drives it home by saying, honor one another above yourself. You see, when we focus on the greatness of God, our desire for self-promotion will be thwarted and my perspective of you will be elevated. There's two things my flesh doesn't want to do. It doesn't want to stop this process of self-promotion and it doesn't want to promote you. See, my flesh desires to put myself up and put you down or at least leave you alone. And the scripture says real Christians who know Christ, they stop putting themselves up and they start putting others up. The brothers and sisters in Christ, they recognize that they are to be honored. Why? Because Christ lives in them. Christ is not only all, which changes my perspective of me. He is in all, which changes my perspective of you. Do you see the difference there? And it's amazing what that does. That means that if I feel like I'm some big, gifted, talented person, and I see someone who's not, I say it doesn't matter who they are in relation to me because our differences are inconsequential. As a matter of fact, I can honor them above myself because Christ dwells in them. The King lives in them. Man, that's a big thing. And it parallels, by the way, the concept over there in Philippians chapter 2, where God says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, consider others as more important than yourself. And here it says, honor one another above yourself. If I see the greatness of Christ, I'm not going to try and promote myself with some kind of spin or deception. And when I see you, I'm going to put you up. Why? Because you're a child of the King. Christ dwells in you. That does something to change my perspective. And that is a wonderful equalizer for the body of Christ. Boy, it changes everything. The world will look at this and they won't even understand it. It is so unique. In this world, they don't get that. They don't live it. They don't know it. They don't experience it. But in the church, he says, stop deceiving. Stop putting a spin on it. Stop promoting yourself. See the greatness of Christ. Stop worrying about distinctions between you and see Christ in each other. I put it this way. Number 3 in your outline, see Christ in your siblings. Can you see that? Even if they're irritating, even if they're stupid, even if they're whatever in your mind, doesn't matter. If they're Christians, Christ lives in them and they are to be honored. There's nothing God loves more. You go to the grocery store this afternoon and walk down the potato chip aisle, you're going to see all kinds of carefully designed potato chip bags, right? There are people in high rises in Irvine that work long hours to design potato chip bags. They work on what colors, they pick out color swatches, they design it, they change fonts, they change positions. They get those potato chip bags looking really good. But have you ever noticed what happens when you open the potato chip bag? Right, all the air comes out and you get about a half an inch of chips at the bottom of the bag. They're wasting lots of Mylar or whatever they're building these bags out of. The packages could be this big. But they get these huge bags, lots of air, nicely designed. They're all lined up down the aisle. There they are. Wow, it looks great until you get a look inside. You walk down the vegetable aisle in your grocery store this afternoon, you're going to see vegetables and there's no carefully designed packages for those. I mean, there's no front, there's no, they're not, they're just vegetables. You'll be looking at the zucchini and all of a sudden you'll see one, you'll make you laugh. I mean, they're like, some of them are weird. There's warts, you see a potato, you see, your grandmother's face in it or something. I mean, some of them are out there. They're tweaked. I was walking through the grocery store with my wife the other night and we had to stop by grandma's, and I saw a potato, I picked it up and I showed it to her. I thought, look at that. I mean, some of them are out there. And that's a whole nother psychosis I get into, But it's like, wow. But you know what? Give me the vegetable aisle over the potato chip aisle any day of the week. Because what you see is what you get in the vegetable aisle. What you see in that aisle that you walk down where the potato chips are is not what you get. Matter of fact, in this world, you know what it's like. A lot of people are more air than chips, if you know what I mean, right? But they're trying to look so good on the outside. They're working hard. They're strategizing. They want the appearance. They want to, and they're throwing out this front. Well, you know, I hope coming into the church is like going to that vegetable aisle. Yeah, you're going to see warts and pimples and some wrinkles there. I realize that. But you know what you're going to find there in a church that follows the dictates of Colossians 3, 9 through 11? You're going to find honesty. You're going to find authenticity. You're going to find people that what you see is what you get. Oh, we're not trying to have warts and wrinkles. We're trying to be more like Christ, but we're honest about this thing. We're going to fight this desire and temptation to be dishonest and deceptive and to be men and women of pretense, and instead we're going to be men and women of truthfulness. Let's win this battle. Christ has told us how. Let's pray. God, we want to be real. It's hard to be real. Let people know we struggle in areas, be willing to admit and confess our sins openly and be upfront with our faults. Be willing to admit when someone is just more gifted than us. Be willing to rejoice in their accomplishments and not worry about competition and elbowing my way up the social ladder. But just being content to point at Christ and say, that's what it's all about. Christ is all. Our distinctions are irrelevant. We got the MVP on our team. And then, God, whenever we do relate with one another, to see past whatever inferiority we may be looking at and say, you know what, Christ lives there. And if Christ lives there, I got to honor the King and this sibling. I got to be ready to honor them above myself, to see them, as Philippians 2 says, as more important than myself. God, if we could just practice that in this church, if we could fight the temptations built into our flesh to promote and put a spin on our lives, God, you would just make this a refreshing place to be. Oh, I know, it wouldn't be as flashy as the potato chip aisle, but we got to be real. We wouldn't reflect the genius of some guy in a suit in Irvine. We'd reflect the artistry of our Creator, warts and all. God, help us to be honest people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Attacking prideful pretense. That's the title of our message today from Pastor Mike Fabares here on Focal Point. Now, if you joined us a bit late today, or if you missed any of the previous messages in this series, you can listen again by downloading the free Focal Point mobile app or by visiting focalpointradio.org. At Focal Point, we strive to help you be fully equipped to know God's Word and to live it out. And you can be part of the team that makes this happen when you donate today. Your gifts fuel our ministry, ensuring these broadcasts reach our nationwide audience. So if you share our passion for accurate line-by-line, verse-by-verse study, will you join with us today and help magnify our reach this year? It's quick and easy to give. Just call 888-320-5885 or donate online at focalpointradio.org. When you give today, we'll express our thanks with a practical book called Unpacking Forgiveness. Many books on this topic encourage a broad forgiveness that diminishes the justice of God and the integrity of grace. This book, written by Chris Bronze, presents the beauty of God's grace and the necessity of forgiveness. But it also teaches that forgiveness must take place in a way that's consistent with justice, so we can move beyond a feel-good doctrine of automatic forgiveness. Mention the book Unpacking Forgiveness when you give by calling 888-320-5885 or go to focalpointradio.org. If you prefer to mail your gift, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California 92654. And before we go, if you're new to Focal Point, we have a welcome gift we'd love to send you. It's a CD called Practicing Wholehearted Forgiveness. We can never be real friends with imperfect people until we learn how to forgive quickly and completely. Request your free copy of this inspiring sermon on CD at focalpointradio.org or by calling 888-320-5885. Well, I'm Dave Drewy. So glad to have you with us. And be sure to come back Thursday for a new message called Cultivating Genuine Kindness here on Focal Point.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's Word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's Word moving in your heart right now? Drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.